Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. Well, I just said it like it's a question, like I'm Ron Burgundy. I'm John Spencer, sorry about that. And I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this podcast, the ideas. I love to share some stories, some of the mistakes I've made along the way, some of the frameworks and blueprints I've put together, all with the goal of exploring together what it means to boost creativity in the classroom. So that's what we're all about on this podcast. And today we're going to talk about Genius Hour, or 20% time. It's this idea of doing kind of an independent project where students explore their interests and questions and passions. And so I want to start with this idea of why we do Genius Hour. And here's the interesting thing. So I love to make these sketchnote videos. They're goofy little things that I doodle and then I animate them. And you can find them at spencervideos.com. And one of the most frequent questions that I get when I do a workshop or a keynote is, how do you create those sketchnote videos? And it kind of surprises me. I'm here in Australia right now. I'm in Melbourne. Somebody asked me that on Monday, which was really cool. But I find this fascinating because to me, those don't feel like that big of a deal. In fact, for the first couple years that I made sketchnote videos, I actually didn't share any of them with an audience. For me, they were kind of this waste of time. I mean, they were something that I did to process information, but they certainly weren't useful to anyone else. And that's kind of how I felt about sketchnoting in general. I would sketchnote ideas in college and think to myself, well, if I were a real serious student, I would be taking, you know, real notes, Cornell notes. And then during professional development as a teacher, I would feel like real teachers took real notes. And I was just, you know, jotting down ideas all over the place with these doodles and sketches and whatnot. And so that's how I would view it. I would feel like it was, well, kind of a waste of time. But it's not only that. I grew up feeling guilty about my incessant doodling. I remember a few different times as a kid, teachers warned me about not being off task. And I would doodle in the margins of my notebook asking the question, is there something wrong with me? Even though I always seemed focused, I wondered if maybe I had ADD because of my inability to sit through direct instruction and simply listen with my hands folded and my eyes on the teachers, because I always wanted to sketch out the ideas that I heard. But here's the thing. Now my sketches are a part of how I express myself. I use them all the time. I mean, my sketches are in my blog posts, they're in my videos, in my books, my presentations. They were a key part of how I taught when I taught middle school, with sketches all over the board. In fact, I would write down these really silly dad jokes, like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, and it was a peanut butter cup dressed like a police officer, or fire drill, and it was a drill firing another drill and telling him he lost his job. And you get the idea, really, really bad dad jokes. But I mention this because these sketches have been a key part of who I am, and they always have been. They're how I share my ideas. They're how I teach. They're how I make sense out of the world. But it's interesting because the very activity that I felt like was a waste of time for years has become one of the most practical elements of my work. Now, my good friend AJ Giuliani uses the term scratch your itch to describe this seemingly serendipitous way that your passion projects go from a waste of time to a unique opportunity. This is what happens when you geek out on a design podcast episode that you just explore because you find it fascinating, but then suddenly what you learned in that podcast becomes part of the stories you incorporate into your history class. Or that time that you spent learning how to create code has suddenly helped you designing systems as a building administrator. you have these things that seem off topic, they seem like a waste of time, they seem unimportant, they seem even unfocused compared to the quote real work that you do, and suddenly you find that these are the very things that you use all the time. Some of the greatest innovations happened when people chased their curiosity in areas that seemed at the first glance to be, well, a waste of time. Charles Darwin studied geology but rocked the world of biology with his theory of evolution. Kahneman and Tversky spent years geeking out on the way people make decisions. And rather than narrowing it down to this really small research area and writing in a super hyper academic style, they actually chased big questions like, how do people make decisions? And why do those decisions seem totally irrational? And as a result, they completely redefined the field of modern economics. They basically created behavioral economics as a theory. And this is part of why I love the idea of Genius Hour. It's a chance for students to focus on passion for 20% of the time. Whatever interests them, whatever they find fascinating, whatever rabbit trails they want to chase, they get a chance to do that. It's an idea that was popularized by Google, but to be honest, it's something that has been around for a long time in the tech industry before Google even existed. Now, there's a sketch video, if you want to check it out, on this blog post where I kind of explore what Genius Hour is, but you kind of get the idea that it's basically a chance to do these really cool independent projects. I want to point out that Genius Hour isn't a free-for-all, though. It's not the same thing as Study Hall, for example. And you can structure it in a sort of way where you allow kids to play for a while, and then you engage them in inquiry, and then that leads to creativity. Or you could use any of a number of inquiry-based frameworks. The Padaste framework works really well as a blueprint. But for us, you know, I often used and still do, even when I've done Genius Hour with my college students, the Launch Cycle. And that's a design framework that you can check out. It's what AJ and I have developed together. And I've seen some great examples of people who have used these built-in accountability structures to help guarantee that all students were participating. So again, AJ uses the Genius Hour interactive notebooks as a part of how he did it. I often would do these one-minute check-ins and five-minute student-teacher conferences to guide students through goal setting and project management and everything like that. So there is an accountability piece added to it as well. And in terms of timeframes, I've seen teachers do Genius Hour in any number of ways. I've seen them do a Genius Hour at the start of the term or as a, you know, something that they do at the very end of a semester. But I've also seen them do it as sort of a weekly project that they would do, you know, for example, every Friday they do their Genius Hour projects. So there's a lot of different ways to organize Genius Hour. And ultimately, that's up to you as a teacher. You know what's best for your classroom. So I want to talk now about the reasons why you would choose to pilot this in Genius Hour. So number one, Genius Hour increases student ownership and buy-in. We want students to grow into self-directed learners who are both self-managers and self-starters. And we know that our world is changing. Students will need to be self-directed if they're going to be able to navigate the complexity of our rapidly changing world. But the problem is school traditionally focuses on knowledge acquisition in a very teacher-directed way. And that's not a bad thing. Students need direct instruction so that they can acquire specific concrete skills, and sometimes they need it to understand critical concepts. Again, it's not a bad thing. Teachers are the pedagogical and the content experts. But students also need to know how to own their learning. And with Genius Hour, students own the entire learning process. Here they not only decide the topic, but they also generate their own questions. They find their own research, determine their strategies, engage in their own project management. And along the way, they learn how to set goals and self-assess. And as they develop that, they start to increase in their metacognitive skills. They grow into lifelong learners, which brings me to the next point. Genius Hour helps students develop into lifelong learners. Learning shouldn't stop when students leave the school building. We want them to pursue learning on their own for fun. The students should be chasing their curiosity and geeking out on new ideas. They should be making stuff on their own. They should be learning new skills. Maybe it's chess or crocheting or hiking or taking apart cars. Hopefully not doing all of the above at the same time. But the idea is that we want them geeking out on their own at home. And yet I've known way too many adults who've just stopped learning. They've stopped doing projects. They've given up on reading. I mean, there's a fascinating Mental Floss article on just how rare it is for adults to read books after college. It's crazy. The numbers are staggering. Over 70% of the people who they surveyed don't read books after they've graduated. So the goal then is to help them become lifelong learners. And when they do a Genius Hour project, they're getting to make a connection between the subject area that they're studying, whether it's math or science or whatever, and their passions, their interest. Number three, Genius Hour teaches students the soft skills necessary for a complex world. We often try to predict what students will need in the future. Are they going to need to learn how to code? Are they going to need STEM? Are they going to need robotics? You get the idea. But with Genius Hour, students learn how to navigate this uncertainty, this complexity. We don't know what jobs will exist 20, 30, 40 years from now. We know that they're probably working jobs that currently don't exist. And instead of trying to pinpoint exactly what they need, what we can do is help them prepare themselves for anything. And with Genius Hour, students learn those soft skills needed to navigate that complexity. Here they learn how to ask great questions and find answers. And through this process, they learn how to communicate with experts and find key information. Often they'll learn how to work collaboratively if it's a partner or group project. And as they engage in this self-assessment and peer assessment, they'll learn what it means to iterate and improve on their work. They'll hit moments of frustration and they'll learn how to fail forward. And this will help build resiliency, where students begin to develop that growth mindset. And again, these are all those so-called soft skills: resiliency, growth mindset, collaboration, creativity. And all of those things are necessary. But it's also a way for them to master the so-called hard skills, the content skills. Genius Hour can be done in a totally open way, you know, where students pursue whatever passion they want. But it can also be done in a specific subject area. In math class, students might pursue a mathematical question, engage in math modeling, and share their answers with an audience. In language arts, they might do a Wonder Week project or a Geek Out blog. And they can choose whatever topic they want. It doesn't have to be in any subject area, so long as they are engaged in research, in reading, and writing. When I taught history, we did our own Geek Out projects in a way where the students could study the history of any topic they cared about. And we were focusing on the historical methods. So, you know, what are the research methods? What are the ways of doing history? And some of it was involved things like, you know, creating timelines or looking at sources and that type of stuff. But it was basically the historical research skills that students needed. But then when I taught economics, our Genius Hour projects were in the style of this, like a sort of like the TV show Shark Tank. And students went through this design thinking process to create an empathy-driven product that they would pitch to a group of experts. But number five is that Genius Hour makes differentiated learning a reality. So not only are they learning these skills, but they're often learning them in a way that allows for differentiation. I'm not going to get into this too much, but the idea is that students are getting to practice their own skills. They're getting to, you can embed intervention and enrichment into it. They can choose their own scaffolds where they need them. They're getting to decide how long or how short the work is that they're doing. And all of this is a differentiated instruction, but it's in a way that boosts student choice and voice and ownership. Number six, Genius Hour helps students make connections between the content areas. So not only are they maybe mastering the content in a specific area as they do these independent projects, but they're also getting a chance to make connection between seemingly unrelated ideas. There's a great book out there called Not Invented Here. I love it. It's a short little book that you should go check out. And one of the things I love about it is this idea that some of the best innovation happens cross-industry. So, you know, Dyson vacuum cleaners had a huge creative breakthrough when they studied sawmills, for example. And I love those ideas of places where they studied in one domain and that led to innovation in another domain. So Genius Hour allows that. You see it all the time. It's an opportunity to make these critical interdisciplinary connections. And I remember, for example, as a student, students were doing their geek out blogs, and they were, and there was one group that chose fashion, and I was like, oh crap, fashion, I hate fashion, I could care less about fashion. I mean, my idea of fashion is, you know, checking the jeans to see if I need to wash them or if I can wear them again. But what I found was this group was so intentional and so deep. They studied things like the politics of hair, and a student who was African-American described the social implications of choosing whether or not she wanted to wear her hair naturally, or the cultural conflicts around our definitions of modesty and what that meant for a student who was Muslim, or the way fashion has been influenced by globalization. And this group tackled huge social studies issues connected to the subject of fashion. And along the way, they were also practicing these critical literacy skills from language arts. And so what they were doing is they were working interdisciplinary, making these key connections between the different subject areas. But I think the last one is this, and to me it's the most important. It's number seven. Genius Hour creates a culture of joy. I recently wrote a blog post, made a video about why I have been geeking out on this TV show called Making It. I love this show. And I love it because it's a place where there is constant joy. There's excitement in the creative process. And Genius Hour is like that. It's a chance to embrace this sense of joy and excitement. And when that happens, it's really powerful. What you're basically saying to students is, hey, Genius Hour might be a chance to choose a topic, but it's really more than that. It's you saying to your students, your interests matter here. You're known. We value what you have to offer. It honors their agency and identity and helps build trust. And although it can feel like you're taking a step away as the so-called guide on the side, I have found that these projects are often the moments where you as a teacher have some of the greatest influence because you're creating those epic learning experiences that students will remember forever. Students are probably not going to remember that packet or even that one direct instruction lesson you did, but they will always remember their Genius Hour projects. And it's because you, as the architect of learning in your class, are the one who actually made that happen. So thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast at all, would you do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. And with that in mind, again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.